Dear God, as I come before you today, I thank you for all the confirmation that has gone before. I just thank you that you have put in my heart the words that I've written down. And I thank you for taking away the doubts that I had, that they were from you. The songs today, God of Angels' Army. God goes before me, he stands behind, he's at our side. He's our protection. He surrounds us. To you I surrender all that I am. God, there is none like you. In a war, we do surrender. We surrender to those in charge of us. We surrender to our duties. My soul cries out for you. We're in trouble. We're fighting. But you are everlasting. You are never ending. Jesus, come, though I am in darkness, blindness, burdens, memories, they all come and flash through my mind. But you give us unfailing love. For us, you have unfailing love. We follow you, God. An army obeys and follows its commander. He makes the decisions. We obey. God is our commander. As was prophesied, he gives us encouragement, courage, and shows us the way. He is our shield and our sword. Now for my words that I wrote. Last month, on the 11th day of the 11th month, we commemorated 100 years anniversary of World War I. 70 million troops took part in that war, which was called the War to End All Wars. So much pain, fear and anguish would have been felt by those young boys, those young women, those teenagers that went to fight in a far-off country, far from their home, far from their loved ones. Many of them, as the Anzac forces did, dug their own fighting trenches, places where they laid, places where they slept, places where they fought, places where they died. Do you remember last year's Christmas presentation that the young children did? It was awesome. It was about Christmas in the trenches, portrayed as a much happier, event than what it really was. Wars are exhausting, taking a physical and emotional toll on those who fight, but also on those that stay at home. On one website, I read quotes of statistics for post-traumatic stress syndrome as widely accepted rate among military personnel of about 30%. Our Christian life is a battle, a war that we face each day, a spiritual war, where it's hard to keep on going, where at times we feel pressure, stress, and many times we just want to give up and say it's all way too hard. We're in a battle in this world. We may not always see it. At times, life is going well. We might even forget that the battle's actually there. But the enemy would love nothing more than to deceive us and bring about discouragement, defeat, fear and stress in any or all of us. The words that kept resounding in my mind over the last few weeks as I prepared for this message was, don't let him win. Do not give up. Ephesians 6:10 to 12 says, be strong in the Lord, and in the strength of his might put on the full armour of God, so that you can take your stand against the devil's scheme. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. We all experience events in our lives that cause us to stumble and to fall. We blame many things for reasons that we may want to give up on others, give up on people, give up on ourselves. I thought of four main reasons that might bring us to this point of giving up: God, ourselves, the church, and people. We may want to give up on God when we think that he's not actually answering our prayers. We may become disillusioned when we keep seeking God, asking, and nothing seems to be getting answered. Luke 18:1, Jesus was teaching his disciples and he told them about the parable of the persistent widow. She kept on persevering, going to the judge, asking again. He got to a point where he just wanted to get rid of her. He listened to her. So, to show them that they ought to keep on praying and not lose heart, as she did. She did not give up. Don't give up when you are faced with long asked for and sought after prayers that have not been answered. Be encouraged and think that through consistent prayer, our faith is strengthened, the spiritual realm is unlocked, we become united with other Christians in that prayer, and God is glorified, and we draw closer to God. Prayer itself can sometimes be the answer to our prayers as we draw closer to God and seek His will in our lives. Sometimes we blame God for tragic events that happen in our lives. That's when we start asking why. Why me? Why is this happening? Life is full of events that we need to overcome. Life is full of events that we just cannot explain. It is a testimony to our Christian faith as to how we deal and how we react to these tragic events. We may even think that God asks too much of us. Pressures of life can seem relentless. Commitments to God, commitments to work, to partners, to children, to church, to friends. How do we truly know what God wants us to be doing? Paul tells us in Corinthians that as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way by great endurance, in afflictions, in hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labours, sleepless nights, hunger. 2 Corinthians 6, that comes from. Ouch. He went through so much, Paul did. What do we go through? What hardships do we have to complain about? Does God really ask too much of us? Paul certainly had a lot to complain about. When the task of the Lord's work and the vision He has given us seems too hard, we can become disillusioned and question what and why we are doing it. God gives us scripture after scripture that tells us that His strength comes from Him and not from our own abilities. God gives us His strength to continue. We do not rely on our own abilities and we do not rely on our own strength. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Now, what about ourselves? That could be another stumbling block. At times, we may feel as if we have no energy to push on, no energy to keep our minds and spirits focused on God's pathway. But through God's strength, He tells us we can be re-energized and renewed each and every day. Paul encourages us in 2 Corinthians 4:16 not to focus on the things we see and feel, but on the things we cannot see. Focus on eternal things. Therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So fix our eyes not upon what it is seen, but upon what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Paul speaks from his own experiences. He knows where his strength comes from and also how hard it is to persevere and not to give up. In Philippians 4:12, Paul also tells us, I know what it is to be in need and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. It is God who gives us energy. It is God who gives us the strength to go on. Sometimes we may feel that we are not able or not good enough to do God's work. Many great people in the Bible have thought this themselves. Job, Moses, Gideon, Jonah, asking God the questions, why me? I'm nobody. Hiding from God and telling Him, go and ask someone else. We do God's will through His strength and not our own. As Pastor Michael has said, God is not interested in our ability. He is interested in our availability. Ephesians 6:10 tells us to finally be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. And in Philippians 2:13 reassures us, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. Sometimes a lack of understanding of who we are in Christ is a reason that we want to give up. There's verse after verse that encourages us to understand who we are in Christ, to help us grasp the fact that we actually have the power of Jesus Christ living in us. In the Gospels of Mark and Luke, it teaches us that we have received the power of the Holy Spirit and we can do miraculous things through Jesus. We have authority and power over the enemy in this world. And in 1 John it says, "We are from God, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world." I can do whatever I need to do if in life through Jesus Christ who gives me strength, is in Philippians. And Luke it says, "For with God nothing is impossible." Worldly elements work relentlessly to program our minds to feel unworthy and unable to operate in the power of the Holy Spirit. When we realize who we are in Christ, we can reach God's full potential that he has for us. If we feel worthy to exercise our authority in Christ, then we can begin to walk boldly and confidently in the faithfulness and the fullness of our faith. Okay, another stumbling block was the church. The church is sometimes said to be the reason people give up. Too much time commitment can wear people down. A conflict in a person's ministry can make them ponder what they're doing. Or we could have a different vision than the church. All these things can go towards a feeling of becoming disillusioned and in conflict with the church as a whole or Christianity as a whole faith. All these issues, whether real or perceived, can cause people to give up. Spiritual, physical, social, emotional burnout is also possible due to overcommitment to the church. Burnout is often a result of a self-reliance on ourselves, a reliance on ourselves rather than trusting God to accomplish his will. We begin to see every need as our calling rather than asking God's wisdom and direction for what we should be doing and where we should be ministering. This can play out in many ways, like overloading on meetings, YouTube videos, seminars, especially big name preachers as they come and go, the latest in doctrine for Christianity, constantly serving others and those in leadership and those with a servant heart, perhaps being on call 24 hours a day. Another cause of burnout can be the lack of caring for ourselves. Those of us who don't care of ourselves may be failing to understand how much God actually loves us, how much he actually values us. We fail to accept his rest and his love. Instead, we may place undue pressure on ourselves by constantly striving to please others. Whether it's a lack of self-care or an unrealistic view of our ability, burnout can stem from our lack of understanding of the character of God and a lack of understanding of his expectations on our lives. Psalm 46:10 tells us, "Be still, cease striving, and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted among the earth." Differing values and beliefs can also cause us to give up. The church that Paul wrote letters to in Corinthians was not operating along godly values. Paul never gave up on them. He never gave up on them for a minute. Instead of walking away, he pressed in. As he firmly corrected them, he also encouraged, affirmed, loved, prayed for them, and thanked God for them. Like Jesus, Paul saw a broken church and had a vision of beauty. Like Jesus, Paul saw a sinful church and had a vision of many saints working together as one. And like Jesus, Paul saw a band of misfits and saw a vision of a radiant, perfect bride. If we can put aside our differences and work together, we too can become a vision of beauty with the saints working together to become a radiant, perfect bride for Christ. People. If others don't agree with us, if others cause conflict in our lives, if others ask too much of us, we can become burdened, disillusioned, and give up. It's easy to blame others for issues. Easy to blame others for the conflict. That wasn't me. In 2 Corinthians 12, Paul was complaining to Jesus about being buffeted by a messenger of Satan who was being a thorn in his side. Have you ever been in a situation having to put up with someone who was a thorn in your side? A pain in the neck? Verse 9, Jesus told Paul, My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And Paul said, therefore I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. God made us all different, all individuals. Not two of us are the same. Not even identical twins who have the same DNA are the same. We don't feel the same in situations. We don't react the same in situations. And we don't hold the same values that shape us to make decisions and responses in situations as they arise. Sometimes our differences are what makes us so frustrated with each other. Why don't they see my point of view? Why is their vision not in line with mine? Proverbs 27:17 tells us that we knock the rough edges off each other to form a small, smooth, usable surface. Iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Does that actually mean that we keep knocking the rough edges off of us until there's nothing left? I think not. One comment I read says, iron cutting tools are made bright and sharp and fit for use by rubbing them against the file, or some other iron. So a man who, being alone, is sad and dull and inactive, but by the company and conversation of his friend is greatly refreshed. His very wits are sharpened and his spirit revived, and he is both fitted for and provoked into action. So without others, perhaps we just sit there, dull and cumbersome. But with others around us, sharpening us, making us think, challenging us, then we can become provoked into action. 1 Corinthians talks about the body of Christ and explains that we are all part of that body, all with our own role to play and all needing each other. We all have an important role to play, and God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. We need each other. We need to share a vision with each other. We need to work towards God's goals together, united and ready to fight in God's mighty spiritual army. When I thought about giving up in the context of a war, the word surrender came to me. Holding our hands up and saying, I surrender. Being surrounded by the enemy, almost at the point of defeat. But instead of a surrender to our army, because we are at the point of defeat, we can raise our hands to God and surrender to him. We surrender to God at the beginning of our war, and that beginning is at our salvation, when we accept Christ as our Lord and Saviour, at our born-again experience. And as we continue to advance in God's plan, God's war, we need to keep renewing our surrender to him and be prepared to take on the difficulties as well as the easy battles that present before us, always committing ourselves to his purpose and not our own. When we raise our hands in surrender and praise to the Lord, we open our spiritual and physical body to God, symbolically saying we are a willing vessel to be used as God sees fit. We lift up the worries and heaviness of our burdens that can cause us to give up, and instead of giving in, we enter into the presence of the Almighty God. Surrendering to God lifts our burdens, releases his glory into the heavenlies to combat spiritual attacks, and helps us enter into his presence. Then, filled with God's supernatural strength, we refuse to give up. We honour God's power in our lives, and we are witnesses to his power and to his strength. In closing, do we give up because of God, because of ourselves, because of the church, because of other people? I say, please God, let our answer be no. And that we take courage and strength in and through the power of the Holy Spirit that dwells in us, and push on and persist. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it. Joshua 1:9. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. God spoke those words to Joshua, and we too can take hold of those words from God and apply them in our lives. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Amen.